The book is actually called It's Showtime at Devonport, and one of the things that people probably wouldn't be aware of, that in its heyday, it had something like over 20,000 people attend over 2 days.
Yes, and more, allegedly. Yes, up to 23. Yeah, it was very... for a regional show, it was very, very well attended.
Yeah, and that was 2 days and two nights. Of course, you used to have nighttime sessions as well back then, didn't it?
Yes, I can't think when they started, but, initially, I think the first show was just a one-day one, but then the following year it became a two-day one, and then progressed from there. But I think it was post-war when it became the four sessions,
yeah.
I think.
I mean, I can remember when I started out as a journalist in 1985, we used to send six reporters to the Devonport show, and we were there for the whole 2 days, and we ran six or seven pages of coverage every day in the paper that week. It's changed a lot since then. I think the last Devonport show we had, they probably sent one reporter and one photographer.
Okay, well, what I'd like to say there, I really appreciate, as a researcher, I appreciate all the coverage that there was, because it's made my job a lot easier. I give all praise to the journalists who covered it.
I'm sure you've probably come across a few of my stories from the 80s onwards, but that must have been a great resource for you to be able to go back and look at the newspaper cuttings. I'm sure you've trawled through quite a lot.
Oh, yes, because in the early days it was the North West Post, which was the newspaper produced in Devonport, printed at the Richmond Printery, and for the early articles, that's a wonderful resource. If you're interested in old Devonport, it's a wonderful one. It's easy to find on Trove. Give that a plug, because I live on Trove, because it's...
Trove is a website?
Okay, so yep. National Library of Australia, and it's their facility to access digitised newspapers.
Right, okay.
All the old newspapers. For our Tasmanian newspapers up to 1954.
Wow.
Yeah,
what a great
yeah.
resource. Now, the Devonport show started in 1907. It was so it was 110 years old when it sort of folded. And the bloke behind it all was someone called Henry Hector McPhee. There's a street in Devonport named after him.
That's right. Henry was the founder of the show. He met a lot of opposition because... Oh, we had the La Trobe show. It was a big show in those days.
I didn't know they had one.
Oh, yes. So from the 1874, that began as a springtime livestock show, and that was well established. So there was a lot of local opposition because people worried that it was a bit too close in distance and in time because there was only a week between them.
Right.
And there was a lot of worry, but La Trobe continued on until 1960. And then the showgrounds became where La Trobe High School was built.
Ah, well, no, I'm sure there's people older than me that are listening that probably remember that, but I was only born...
Oh, yes, they do, but not me, but I do know people who remember... people not too much older than me that remember going to the La Trobe show and loving it.
Yes, well, I was born in 58, so I would have been too young, but I'm sure that you actually, apart from the newspaper cuttings and the things like that that you used as resources, I'm sure there's still a few living resources around that you would have utilised as well.
Yes, one of my favourite things, to collect stories from storytellers. And it's just a great thrill to be able to meet wonderful people and to hear, take the time to listen to their stories. We should all do it. Collect the stories while we can. Absolutely. So there were interviews, which were delightful, but also we had 30 people actually make their written contributions.
Right.
So we've got all sorts of things to dip into in the book.
And over 100 photos as well. I'd imagine some of those will be fascinating to look at.
When I had a look, there's probably 450. But I didn't really count terribly well. When someone said, how many photos? Oh, over 100.
Right.
And I better count. So strictly speaking, it's probably about 450.
Okay.
But in the early days of the show, again, I had an online resource which was very rich, and it was through the Tasmanian Archives office, and it's the unindexed Weekly Courier, and the Tasmanian Mail, and they were wonderful publications, which both of them ceased in 1935. But up till then, they were a really rich resource for photographs, photos.
What prompted the book, Portia? Would it have not happened if the Devonport show was still going, or was it just the right time to do it?
This was a project that just happened to coincide with the, because it was something I wanted to do, but without any knowledge of the showground being sold or anything.
Right.
It was just something I thought. I'd been working on some history with Jeff Winspear, and he was one of a long-serving committee man on the show. He'd been involved for 50 years and I thought, someone's got to do the show. And because it had been something that was always a favourite thing for me through my childhood and for my children too, it was always the highlight of the year.
I got to hate them as a journalist.
Okay, but as a child,
kids loved them. Yeah.
It was a wonderful time of the year, and it was the end of the year, and I know there were lots of other things on. When you got your new outfit to go to your Sunday school anniversary, you also wore that to the show.
Oh, right, yeah.
And there was also, end of year assemblies and concert days, and then Christmas. So December was a big month, but the show was just, for me, was the most exciting thing. I loved it.
Talking to the living resources that they used, did you ever get the sense from any of them that they think it might be revived, or have they sort of accepted that it's gone for good?
I think most people hope. I think in everyone's hearts, there's hope that there can be someone actually said something like a phoenix rising from the ashes. And I believe so too, because I just think, how about bring it back to La Trobe or something? And the key might be to make it something smaller and something more oldie-worldy, maybe.
Yeah. Oh well, there's plenty of time to plan for it. I think the facility to replace the greyhounds and the harness racing won't happen for a little while yet, and I don't know whether the showgrounds are going to be incorporated in that or not. But importantly, the book's being launched on Sunday, so tell us about that, Portia.
Okay, so we have three particularly interesting guest speakers coming along with unique associations with the show. We've got Henry Hector McPhee's granddaughter, Henry, who had founded the show. We had Judy Kilby, who is from a quite well-known Wadley family. They were known in the equestrian events over several generations. And another really interesting one from the sideshow families. We've got Peter Paulson, who's the son of Harry Paulson, who travelled the shows of Tasmania for 40 years with his boxing troupe.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's three quite lively and different speakers there.
So that's happening at the showgrounds on Sunday at 2 o'clock. It's a free event, so people are more than welcome to come along.
Oh, and importantly too, the City of Devonport Brass will be playing, and for me that's lovely because the brass band has always been there at important events over the years in Devonport. I think the first band was in the 1870s and the first brass band 1890.
Yeah, been around longer.
They've always been there.
Been around longer than the show, actually.
They have. So that's a lovely thing. I was really thrilled that they were able to come and play for us. So that's beautiful. And there'll be food and drink vans there for people to purchase refreshments.
Terrific.
There's no entry fees. Yep. So if we'd had catering, we would have had to put an entry fee on it. Wouldn't have seemed easier this way.
This seems...
And the books for sale at the showground that day, and from the society offices there at the showground afterwards.
Terrific. It sounds like it's going to be a fascinating... I'm fascinated by local history and coastal history and Tasmanian history, so a lot of people that you don't necessarily have to be interested in the show as such to get something out of it, I wouldn't imagine.
No, because you actually discover some really interesting things about the early days of Devonport and the coast. And Henry Hector had great visions, not just for Devonport, but for the northwest coast the wife. He was just a visionary, and the show. I sort of see the show as a centrepiece to display what the area had in riches. So yeah. That's how I think he saw it. And he quite a visionary, and he's a very interesting man to explore.
Okay, the book's called Showtime at Devonport. The launch is 2 o'clock on Sunday. Portia, thank you for putting it together. Good luck with the launch on Sunday, and also thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you for giving me the time. Thank you.